Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And this is our weekly Patreon episode for our beloved patrons. Welcome to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you
so much for supporting us.
Yeah. Thank you to the new folks. We had someone who was an old folk. They came back and they did an annual.
Oh, that's great. We're doing an annual now.
So that's
awesome.
You can
do an annual now. Get a little discount. You save a little money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you.
That's great.
Awesome. That is an option now. So if you want to do that, if you do plan on doing that, let us know.
Yeah, and, you got to do that. Do it. Do an annual membership.
Yeah,
we are into the new year and new things to talk about, and I'm excited about that. Anything we need to tell the folks before we jump in?
I do have a question before we start. We've been having guests on our regular free episodes. If that's something you're liking, let us know. Mm-hmm. If you would prefer to have a guest be regular for, you know, say 4 episodes in a row, let us know that, because we're just kind of. We're still shooting from the hip and trying stuff out. Also, last episode with Andy, I edited quite a bit.
you guys are getting the inside.
Yeah. Just because it was a lot of stuff. And the full episode's on YouTube. But curious if you guys prefer a heavier edited episode or if you prefer
just the raw,
rawness.
Yeah.
So, yeah, raw dog or not. So just let us know that. That'd be great. That's all I got.
Well, just so you guys know, been offered a spot in Raleigh at a conspiracy themed tap house.
Oh yeah,
to do a live show. So if you're a Raleigh person, and when we say a live show, we would just literally be doing what we're doing now.
Yeah.
in our studio, at a bar where you could listen live and laugh and interact with us. We would do it. We would open it up for the patrons, I think, at first. And so anyway, let us know if you would do that. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And I may put a post up about that on the Patreon.
Okay, so, sure. Okay. Yeah, go for it.
All right, so today I'm really excited to talk about this. We've never talked about this subject, although it's been referenced at various times in the pod. But last December on the solstice, which is ironic, a story came out about one of my favorite ancient archaeological sites.
Okay.
Arguably the most mysterious of all ancient archaeological sites. It's not that old.
Okay.
It's a Peruvian site that was built by the Incans.
Mm-hmm.
The Incas.
Incas, yeah.
Not the Incans.
No, probably not.
I feel like somebody say Incan.
They probably do. I think, you know, it's probably been bastardized
Texas,
over the years.
Texans kind of thing.
Sure, yeah.
The Inca Native Americans built the site of Machu Picchu.
Oh, Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu.
Yeah.
Sometime in the 15th century. And what happened just last December, which is also something that we've alluded to and is probably worth a whole episode, is that they took LIDAR technology up to Machu Picchu, which, by the way, is like 8,000 feet elevation. Yeah. And they used LIDAR drones to do an archaeological mapping.
Oh, that's
of
cool.
The site. Now,
and that's oftentimes how they discover places. Like, they'll like scan an entire jungle. They're like, nothing's there. And then they realize an entire city exists.
That's correct. And that's a really astute point, because I don't know how, I'm not really an archaeological buff, but I do know that archaeology, as we think of it, has become ethically questionable in the last, let's say, 30, 40 years.
Oh, when we realized it was just a bunch of white men.
Well, you're right. We're just going to go. We're just going to go dig in your sacred artifacts and then take them back to our museums, worth millions, and not
How
give
else
you. And,
will people see them? You got to put them in a museum,
right? White people need to see this stuff.
That's right.
I mean, that's what we're here. Yeah. So, but not only is it got some ethical issues, there's practical issues around big, large scale archaeological digs.
Okay.
Meaning, you're more likely, if you bring a bunch of archaeologists into an area to dig, you're more likely going to trample and destroy stuff than you are to actually find something.
Oh, yeah. Because who's really going in there with, like, the toothbrushes that they're supposed to? They're just like, oh, let's just start digging. And then you're like, well, there was an artifact.
Yeah, right. And the dirt you pile up is more likely to cover up the real, you know, it's just, it's super problematic to go in. And so, especially because, you know, the methodology for archaeology was like, they find a site and then you're like, well, there's got to be more around here. Just start digging.
Oh yeah. Just, you know, it's basically like clear cutting.
It kind of is. Yeah. It's very much a grip it and rip it kind of mentality. Yeah. And so they've been experimenting with Lidar. And if for some reason you're listening and you're like, what is Lidar? It's the technology that computer game consoles have been using, video game consoles have been using.
And your phones.
Your phone and your self-driving car. And it's basically light and distance radar systems. Shoots out an amazing amount of light for a short distance.
Yeah, I look right in my phone when I'm doing it. It's like right in my eyes. I'm like, it's like shooting a laser in a cat's eyes.
That seems not, the light, I guess, refracts back.
Mm-hmm. Measures distance. It's kind of like echolocation, but with light.
That's right. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And what it does is it maps it. So like when you play a video game, it kind of maps your body in real time. Mm-hmm. And then it shows you in Dance Dance Revolution or in...
We got to do a whole episode on the Kinect because they stopped making that because people are starting to see ghosts and shit when they're using that.
Mm.
So we got to do an episode on that sometime.
You're right. They were. I forgot about that. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's what Lidar, you know, and for self-driving cars, you know, it's kind of like as Lidar gets better, self-driving cars will become. But for archaeology purposes, what they do is just what you said is that they go into an area where they're like, we found this site. Let's go see if there's anything else that we're missing in this site, right? So they took that up to Machu Picchu, which everything I said about how hard it is and expensive it is to do a traditional archaeological dig, will just add to that doing it at 8,000 feet elevation.
Oh, yeah. People just pass out trying to get up there. I can't imagine with equipment.
Yeah, it's a strenuous hike. Yeah. People die there all the time.
Yeah, idiots.
That's another conspiracy, which we're not going to talk about because people are like, there's a curse at Machu Picchu, and it's like, no, there's no
guardrails.
There's a long hike, and when you get there, you're exhausted, and you go look, and it's on the sides of cliffs.
Yeah, you're like weak-kneed, and you're like, I hiked up the tower in Boston. It's like, I don't know, it's like a tower in Boston.
You mean
like
Seattle?
No, there's one in Boston. It's like on a hill. I don't know.
I had walked around the city. Beacon
Hill? Beacon Hill. I'd walk
Prospect
around all day, whatever it is. I about fell down the stairs, come down. My legs are shaking.
Yeah, this isn't a conspiracy or a curse.
This is man.
This is you haven't done aerobic exercise in years, and you went to the highest point in Peru, and you're an idiot.
Yeah.
They took these Lidar technology up there, scanned it, and they're like, oh, my God, there's so much here, more than we realized. Housing, there's definitely some underground activity going on, which... It confirms what some amateur archaeologists had thought. And that story broke, and I was like, man, we really should dig into Machu Picchu because it's a great story, a great conspiracy.
Yeah. Are there TikTokiologists up there doing stuff right now?
There probably are, I'm sure, because it seems like for every real career, there's like two or three crossovers into TikTok.
Sure.
Like there's like two or three dermatologists. Two or three architects. There's a few chefs that have made it on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They figure out the algorithm. I don't mean someone that was famous someone that
actual
wasn't
people.
Famous. Right. I mean, there's a guy that's like a lumberjack, but he's just TikTok famous because he's just, you know, it's like there's a couple lawyers who just watch video.
Oh, man. I've seen that lawyer on TikTok. He's great.
He's great.
He is. You know? Helping people all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. So there's this, there's no cops on...
weird.
There's no cops on TikTok.
That's weird.
A lot of people showing cops doing bad things. Yeah. Very few cops being like, look how I didn't shoot this guy.
Right. There are some... I've seen some cops dance on TikTok, but I don't think it was that
I've seen some, like, basketball...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, just dunking on some poor dude in the hood.
Yeah,
just
You know...
Right.
Reaching out to the community by dunking.
There's a great comic in New York City, Rojo Perez, first Puerto Rican comic to ever be on The Tonight Show, but he has a great bit about these videos of, like, cops, like, crossing over, like, in the inner city. Like, he thinks they're paid actors. It's a great conspiracy.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Machu Picchu. Let's talk about the site itself, and then we'll, as we often do, we'll point out what we know as sort of accepted fact, and then we'll delve into the deep recesses of it, which are crazy. All right, it came to be known, the site itself, to the world in 1911 when an archaeologist quote unquote discovered it. Hiram Bingham. And sure. But the discovery of Machu Picchu mirrors so many other discoveries by white people. Like, first of all, he was looking for something else.
Oh, yeah.
And he got into Peru. He was trying to discover a ancient lost city of the Incas. The city was called Vilcabamba or something, La Bamba.
Okay. La Bamba. Richie Valens.
Yeah. So, but then when he's looking for it, like, he interviews this guy and he's like, "Do you mean the Machu Picchu, which just means the old mountain?" And they was like, "What's that?" He's like, "It's a city on top of the mountain." The guy's like, "What?"
And he's like, "I discovered it."
Yeah, so he's like, "I discovered it." Sure. And of course, like, other people discovered it, and everyone in the area knew that it was there. Mm-hmm. The Incas, the common Inca culture was very stratified.
Okay.
And the richest, elite, wealthy, they were the only ones that knew of the location of this city in the 15th century, but the common person did not. But over the years, the intervening few hundred years, like, it was pretty well known that there was an ancient Inca city up on this mountain. But Bingham got the credit for discovering
it. Okay.
So he goes up there, and he finds, like so many other people, a inexplicable architecture and structure. Mm-hmm. Like, again, remember, this is at 8,000 feet elevation on the sides of cliffs.
Just giant boulders and rocks cut out.
Gigantic boulders. Boulders that stone cutters have said today, those stones are harder than brass. Like, they're not even sure iron would cut it. And these weren't an iron age people. They didn't have access to iron ore.
Dang, just rubbing it down with their teeth.
Yeah. Well, how are they? Yeah, they're like, we don't know how they're cutting these things without... Like, they would use laser cutting now.
Yeah.
But, this is a diamond-type cut. The rock is so hard. The building style is what we've talked about before, where they're cut to fit with no mortar, no joist or hinges or anything. They're just literally the rocks are interlocked by their own cutting so close together to this day that you still can't fit a piece of paper between the rocks.
Crazy. It's like a puzzle. It only goes together
one way. And this is an area. So it's built in 1460, 1450. So it's not tremendously old. I mean, 600 plus years old. But the area is an area with incredibly high rates of earthquakes and seismic activity. So even with all the shaking going on, these things really haven't moved or deteriorated much at all. It's remarkably well preserved.
Crazy.
For something 600 years old.
Good for them.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they've got a temple there that's is essentially like aligned with the winter and summer solstice. The whole place has a precision in relation to the astronomical world that is perplexing to modern day.
So crazy
science.
There are so many places like that, and we're just like, well, thank God we have computers, because we would have never known.
People don't know, like, the average American, if you just took them outside of their house and said, which way is north, south, east, west, they would have no clue.
No. I've seen enough of those man on the street videos where they interview people and they're like, who's what's the capital of this state? And people are like, I don't fucking, they're like,
not. Yeah, directions, of course not.
Yeah.
And nobody knows directions.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is remarkable how directionally challenged. Yeah. And these folks, I mean, the temple has like these holes that on the solstice, winter and summer solstice, that the light, kind of like Stonehenge, like the light shines right through these holes, and it's this like temple to worship the sun god.
Glory of the sun just shones right through those holes.
The current theory on this is that the emperor at the time, the Incan emperor, and I'm going to blank on his name, Pachacutec.
Okay.
Let's just call him Pacu.
Sure.
Yeah. Pacu built it as a resort for him and his
like timeshare type thing, or
like
just
a time, yeah, yeah, nice. Like a timeshare.
Yeah, we can get you in this place. They're trying to sell it,
which I thought was kind of crazy because we think that a temple aligned to the sun is like this revolutionary thing. We're blown away by it, but maybe that was just in vogue architecturally.
Oh, maybe so.
Just some god, like what I like to do here.
Yeah.
A big temple, and we'll do it here. Let's open space, and we'll align it. You know.
Oh man, that's a good gig if you have that.
Right. You know, if we think about, I always think about this with architecture or archaeology in architecture is like, if our world catastrophically, like, was demolished by, like, you know, not everything survived. I mean, when I mean survive, I mean building. Yeah, yeah. Not every building, only several buildings lasted. But one of them's like, I don't know, the Empire State Building. Like, are they going to be able to figure out what that was used for?
They'd be like, there was 3,000 windows in this thing, which align perfectly to the number of stars in the androgynous system.
They're going to be like, you know, people lived, like thousands of people lived trying to reach the gods. You know, they hated their lives.
No, they jumped out of that thing.
They were miserable, right? Yeah. The higher up you got, the richer you were. Yeah, it's
not always.
No, your business.
Yeah, the sadder you got, the higher you went.
Right. Yeah, I just always wonder how wrong we could possibly be about architecture.
Oh, very wrong, I'm sure.
But the site itself is mind-blowing. Like, if you haven't been to Machu Picchu.
No.
I figured you would have said that by now.
Yeah, I've been to Machu. I would be bragging about that. I'd be like, I got some great quads.
It's high on my list of places to go.
Yeah, I would love to go there.
I mean, you know, hey, listen, patrons.
Yeah.
If you want us to go up there and get some damn answers.
Yeah.
It's more interesting to me than the Denver airport.
Oh, yeah.
And whereas with the Denver airport, if we went there and tried to get into the subterranean shit there, we would probably get arrested and spend a small amount of time in jail. Yeah.
That's why we sent Sam.
And if we went to Peru and tried to get into the underground layers in Machu Picchu, we would be killed.
Oh, you think so?
I think we're going to talk about it.
Yeah,
yeah. It's pretty serious, the security there now.
Okay.
So they have these crazy stones. They got alignment to the sun. They have steep stepped terraces to maximize, like, the growing system.
You can see stuff like that over in China and India, where it's all like they flatten it.
They flatten it. I mean, again, because it's on a mountaintop. Mm-hmm. When I say it's at 8,000 feet, I think that registers, but I don't think it registers how insane that is.
Yeah, it's very high up.
I mean, there are just today, 2022, there are only 45 cities in the United States above 8,000 feet.
Oh, really?
And most of those, and they think that Machu Picchu had a population around 1,000. Only a handful have populations above 1,000.
Oh, really?
And if you take out what essentially are Colorado ski resort towns, where they've built a giant ski resort that has a sort of a year-long population, the number is basically zero.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I would guess that like 35 to 40 of those 45 towns are in Colorado in their ski resort towns.
Okay. I would assume you'd have to do a lot of cocaine at 8,000 feet to just keep the oxygen flowing.
Just keep it. Just
chewing on those coca leaves.
I'm just saying, I think it's extremely rare.
Yeah.
Which, again, everything that we've talked about in terms of, like, they don't know where these stones came from, they don't know how they cut them, and they sure as hell don't know how they transported these stones up 8,000
feet. So they definitely were not from the top of the
mountain.
They
were not quarried from the top of the mountain.
Okay.
I mean, they exist in the area, but not in their cut form, and they're very, very heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, thousands of pounds each for these big stones. I mean, just the nature of the site is just, you know, it's just so big. And if you're listening, I mean, just go look at photographs of it and realize what you're looking at, which is just doesn't make any sense.
And go to Google Maps and 3D it and see if you can make that hike. How your leg's doing.
Yeah, it's nuts. Now, the most mysterious stuff about Machu Picchu, though, that's all the real stuff, right? I guess the one other fact that is mysterious is that it was suddenly abandoned.
Right. Like a lot of Incan.
The Incas. But if it belonged to the Incas, it's Incan.
Okay, there you go.
Right?
Sure. A lot of Incan sites.
A lot of Incan sites. Abandoned suddenly. Yeah. But that might be because the conquistadors came.
That could be. Although I don't know my history well enough. Because I know that a lot of those places still continue to exist. Yeah, maybe it's like what happened to America. We just wiped them out. maybe that's what happened.
They just destroyed.
Yeah. Brought disease, brought blankets.
Yeah. Cortez the killer. I mean, Cortez just came through.
Yeah.
And just massacred people.
Like jerk.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the history of it, which is mysterious enough in my mind. But there is an entire story about not only Machu Picchu, but its creator and the Incas in general, which ties into even older ancient tribes of the region. So the guy that built it, Pachu or whatever his real name is, and if we have any Incas listening, I'm sorry.
How bad we're butchering.
Pachacutec. Very interesting character. A emperor who vastly increased the empire of the Incas.
Mm-hmm.
Fought a huge battle, added like 2,700 miles of land to the Incan territory. But he had a strange, close connection with the Incas' creator god. Who the Machu Picchu is somewhat reverent to all their gods, the sun god, the water god. Also, the LIDAR technology that they used, they found that they had underground irrigation systems that drew water up the river from nearby sources.
Crazy. Like siphoned it up the...
Yeah, they somehow used like kinetic energy to like move water uphill so that it had running water.
Crazy.
Which is mind-blowing.
Yeah, I know it's one of the theories behind how they built the pyramids required running water upstream. It was pretty interesting how they did that in terms
of... Yeah, that seems...
Like these weird siphon gates.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I told you recently that they found a rock at the top of a South American mountain that just recently they realized that this rock, which they knew it had been carved, then they realized that it was a scale model of the entire region.
Oh, wow.
So that they could flood it and just use it for city planning.
That's genius.
So they could just like draw it and then they'd be like, let's put water in here and then put more, and then they could see where they need to build levees and things like that.
Crazy.
It was
how
an
do you
actual
even get
scale
that
model. How do you get an aerial view of your land?
I'm thinking they had balloons. I think they ballooned that rock up there.
Yeah, because the Nasztec lines aren't far from here.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, as a airplane flies, which was
the
flown
Nazca,
by eight.
Nazca lines. Yeah.
Nazca lines, sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Pacu had this weird relationship, and just before this huge battle where he defeated this rival neighboring tribe or nation, he went to this lake, and he was kind of like going on like a retreat or some kind of just withdrawal to sort of plan and prepare for battle. And as he described, right, in these writings, is he saw a metallic object fall from the sky into the lake.
Oh.
And he retrieved that metallic object.
Okay.
And when he retrieved it, you know, and I'm sure that he didn't retrieve it. I'm sure
he probably sent people in to swim down.
600 slaves died.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Attacked by those little South American crocodiles.
What the piranhas. Oh, no, those little crocodiles. Yeah, those things are crazy.
Yeah. I don't think they're that violent.
No. You just piss them off, though. They'll come after you.
Yeah. The piranhas are pretty violent.
Yeah. Don't fuck with the piranha.
So I think he brings it back, and he looks into it, and he sees a reflection of someone talking back to him.
Oh,
and the person tells him that, like, I can see the future and I can give you technology to help you win this war.
Oh,
if you listen to me and you do what I say, I'll help you win this war.
Good dude.
So he goes to battle and he follows the instructions of this person talking him through the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And he can, like, the eyewitness accounts that were recorded say that he could command stones, giant boulders, would levitate off the ground and go flying at the enemy, and he was able to destroy them using these boulders as his primary weapon. Sure. Just him. No, they weren't catapulting them.
This was from knowledge given to him by that sphere thing.
But whatever that sphere told him, somehow allowed him to control matter in a way that it lifted up giant 1,000-pound boulders and hurled them at the enemy until he just pulverized
them. I need to find that sphere.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, then he builds Machu Picchu to honor this god who appeared to him in this reflective mirror, right? Now, understand, too, that if you could make boulders, like, lift up off the ground and fire them at your enemies, wouldn't that also explain how you could lift boulders and then carry them to the top?
It would.
Of an 8,000-foot mountain on the side of a cliff and build an archaeological or architectural site that still baffles modern stone cutters and designers to this day.
Yeah. I mean, that would make sense.
I know we're talking. That would make sense if you had a mirror that talked to you that would fill into
it. It would make sense. I mean, if it all aligned the way we're talking about, it makes sense.
Yeah. So years later, an engineer was visiting Machu Picchu, and he was sort of walking along, and you know, he's just did the hike, and you know, there's guides up there, and he's like, "Hey, what's this doorway for?" And they're like, "What doorway?" And he's like, "That doorway." And they're like, "Huh, never noticed that." And they're like, "I'm an engineer. That's clearly a doorway. Like you can see, this, that's there." And they're
there's
like,
I think
you're right. I think that is a door." So sure enough, this guy discovered this doorway.
Okay.
And it's very much at the center of the whole temple. I mean, that the sun god aligned solstice temple thing. There's this kind of hidden, it isn't a hidden doorway. It's just, it just sort of descends into nothing.
Okay.
You don't see anything. Okay. So then they're like, let's bring in some people. So they bring in people who use these tools that can see underground, radar that sends stuff and determines density. They're like, yeah, there's a giant staircase down there.
That's cool.
And they're like, yeah, that leads to something really major because it's like a major staircase. And they're like, huh. And they're like, okay, well, this guy's like, let me come in with my I have this machine that's like a metal detector, but it uses long range waves, can penetrate into ground. He's like, I use it to find, you know, ores and veins that have they're like, oh, okay, bring that in. And he's like, yeah, there's gold and silver and metals that I've never even registered, but they're metal that I don't know what they are.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, no more experiments. And they completely shut that room down. And there's even stories of people, like amateurs going up there and trying to run tests, and they're arrested on immediately. Mm. So so the theory, and this is one of the conspiracy theories, is that the Emperor Pachu, whatever his real name is, they theorize that that's the mausoleum where he's buried.
Okay.
Which, if that were true, would be one of the greatest archaeological finds in human history. It would be incredible.
Yeah.
It would be up there with King Tut. Yeah. It would be. But the point is that it's not just him. It's that mirror.
Oh, right.
Whatever that thing was, right? He was buried with it. And that's why the site was abandoned.
Oh.
Right? Because he died. They buried him. And which is somewhat customary with ancient empires is you sort of like, he's dead. Now we'll go build another site for our next emperor. They were these elaborate sites were somewhat like.
It's like a living tomb until they're dead.
Right. And then this is where he lives and we're not going to disturb him like that. But people think that whatever that thing was, which they think is evidence of some higher form of life, either terrestrial or extraterrestrial, is buried with him down there.
Well, we got to get in there.
Well,
what are we doing right here? Well, let's go.
I mean, I see your point, but this goes back to something we've talked about before, which is, you know, if we knew conclusively that we're like, there's a cave in Nebraska. I'm picking the boringest place on earth. But if there's a cave in Nebraska and we're like, there's 100% certain that there's a extraterrestrial spacecraft in that cave. We just can't find the cave.
Yeah.
And you and I find the cave, right? Guarantee you immediately.
Oh yeah.
They're going to silence us, lock the cave, and they're definitely not going to let anyone see that.
Yeah. Years later, they dig it up. They're like, oh, there was two very attractive 40-year-old men in there. Weird. They're with the ancient technology. When did they get in there?
Yeah. Weird. But yeah. Yeah. I do not. I don't think that the powers that be, and I'm being as vague as possible when I say that, because I don't really know who they are, but I do not think they want a disclosure that is not within their control.
Right. And as I would assume that a country that is probably less in control, I think America would just swoop in there, any other big country would just swoop in there and just take everything they find. If like they're, like, I don't think Peru's sovereign enough in terms of an army and military to be to even argue.
What are they going to just ride the llamas up against our I mean, what are they?
No offense. I'm sure you, to all our Peruvian listeners, I know you have
Oh, I have, actually have some really good Peruvian friends now that I think really? About that. I love their chicken.
They have guinea pig they eat too. Have you eaten?
Do they really?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Huh. I bet it's good. I bet guinea pigs.
It's probably pretty good.
It's like the fattened rat.
Yeah, little strips of bacon, just
tiny little bacon strips. Yeah, it's like they should bill it as that because people like eating little things.
Yeah,
like
veal. Yeah, like chicken wings that are too big. Hate them. I like little wings. They should sell little guinea pig.
I worked at a restaurant years ago, and this place is like all restaurants in the 90s had like a new chef every 4 days.
Oh, yeah.
But this one guy who was like trying to revolutionize food in Raleigh in like the 90s. So he did a mixed grill one time. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember it, but it was buffalo. I know there was buffalo, something else, and then a kangaroo steak.
Oh, wow.
And people, when I said our special tonight is a mixed grill with buffalo, they thought I was joking.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
But I think there's foods that other countries eat that we don't. Yeah. Guinea pig sounds good. Llama sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, there's some country where they eat it's like fermented corn fungus. You can buy it in cans. It's white and it looks like.
Is it good? Is it sweet?
I don't know.
A lot of sugar in corn.
I don't know if it's good or not. I assume it's like that Strum, whatever that like Swedish stinkfish stuff is that people throw up the minute they open. Have you seen that?
No. What is it?
It's like some canned fish in Norway that people open it and like it smells so bad. People just start dry eating.
Oh man, I was talking to my. I don't talk about my kids much on the pod, but I have my youngest is 9, and he was asking me about where sayings come from. My kid asked me where the phrase "cut the cheese" came from.
Oh yeah,
and I had to explain to him. I'm like, you've never smelled like Limburger cheese.
Yeah,
you ever smelled Limburger cheese?
Yeah, it's just walk into any fucking cheese place and it stinks like someone shit the bed.
I don't understand how it smells so bad.
Yeah, they made ball deodorant just for cheese places.
Like here's where Machu Picchu, I think, gets its most interesting conspiracy.
Okay.
Amongst the remains there, they have found remains of people there. It's a little perplexing because the city itself seems to be inhabitable by, you know, thousands or at least 1,000. But they've only ever found the remains of like the evidence that only a few hundred people lived there.
Were they heavy set? They couldn't. They were
no. That's
like
why
100
they think,
equals 1,000.
They think it was the permanent staff of like the Biltmore or Colorado Springs or wherever, the ski resort people that live year round there. Like
okay,
they think they really think it was like that's where people went in the summer when it was hot. They went to Machu Picchu. It was like the rich people's hangout. What they have found there amongst the remains are some of the mysterious elongated skulls associated with certain South American natives.
Oh, yeah. Circus was in town. That was very insensitive.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'll delete that.
Yeah. No, you can leave it in, man. Let's have some fun. Amongst the remains, they found skulls.
Okay.
Elongated skulls. Now, scientists, people that study this stuff have said that that's just part of the elongation process where they elongate skulls of children by using sort of
strap boards to their heads.
Yeah, they strap these things and it, you know, when your skull is nice and soft, they make it long. Mm-hmm. Which of course is let people say, well, even if that's just what they're doing, why are they doing
it? Yeah, it seems like a weird thing to do.
Why you do those things because you're trying to emulate royalty. Like,
right.
Like people who were they trying to emulate? And who knows, except that like it was definitely something that the wealthier people did.
Right.
Right?
Well, I mean, It's not any different than now. People getting injections in their ass and their BBLs. Lips, and they're trying to look like
Who
our royalty.
But royalty has big butts?
Well, think of the Kardashians. That's American royalty.
Yeah.
They're trying to like be like them. Why not?
Man, thin is really out, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'm unattractive right now.
Gosh.
Just kidding. I got a little gut.
Yep. So, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Here's the problem, though. They have a series of skulls called the Paracas skulls.
Okay.
Paracas was an ancient South American tribe. And they started in the last 20 years doing DNA analysis of remains. Mm-hmm. Now, also extremely controversial because they would release these and then like the South American country where they stole the remains from would be like, where did you get this DNA from? They're like, we might have robbed a grave or two in the day. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, can we have those bodies? Okay.
Yeah.
That pushing that ethical issue aside. They have done DNA testing that directly links the Incans. Their DNA directly links back to the oldest known people in South America, including the Paracas.
Okay.
And that might be mispronounced as well. Now, this particular skull, discovered in 2012, they've discovered a number of these skulls from these folks, always elongated.
Mm-hmm.
And scientists have said, look, we get it that you think that this was just a practice of elongating the skulls of children, and that may be the case in some people, but this skull and many like it, that doesn't explain how bizarre these skulls are.
Yeah.
They are 25% heavier than Homo sapiens skulls. They are 20% greater capacity than Homo sapiens skulls.
Okay.
So their brains were substantially bigger than ours. They're missing a suture, which every human
It's like an upside down Y on the back of your head.
The back of the head, right. There's a suture there. And these skulls do not have them. And even stranger, they have a joint. They have this weird thing that almost looks like, it's almost like the thing you plug into like the Matrix with. They have this like valve in the back of their head that cannot be explained. Their eye sockets were much bigger than ours. And so there are reputable scientists who say elongation through jewelry or braiding or whatever doesn't explain some of the anomalies we're seeing in this skull. Mm. It is either something that is extraterrestrial or a species of Homo sapien that we're not really familiar with.
Yeah.
And they did DNA testing. And while some of it aligned with like, yeah, this is pretty close to humans, there are parts of it whose DNA does not match at all what we think of as being human terrestrial DNA.
Wow.
And these skulls have been found at Machu Picchu. And so
they date the same age as the other bodies?
They date to the Inca time period. Okay. The theory here, which we're coming up against time, so I want to get the craziest theory about Machu Picchu, is that the guy who created it, or at least commissioned the building of it, he had contact through this mirror, which was probably just some sort of device that intelligent extraterrestrial or terrestrial creatures used to communicate with him. Like, that endowed him with a certain amount of power to win the war and build this site for them, which they needed for some purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that was to preserve their bloodline or their DNA or their technology, or possibly because there were leveled areas, flattened areas at 8,000 feet up, whether that was to allow them to come and go as a point of egress.
The spaceport.
A spaceport aligned.
Mm.
And no one except the people that went there knew the way to Machu Picchu.
Right.
So only the elitist of the elite, right? So, I mean, it was a secret fort for all intents and purposes. And if there were some remnant of an extraterrestrial or highly advanced terrestrial species that had crossbred throughout the history of South America, which would, by the way, explain the incredible scientific advancement of all those cultures leading up to the Incas.
Right.
I think my final thought is that two things about Machu Picchu. One is I think that Machu Picchu, and I'm saying this without any sarcasm or any, this is an absolute honest belief. Mm-hmm. I think it holds secrets to our ancient ancestry, okay, and whatever the extraterrestrial or advanced terrestrial beings from the last cycle of life that lived here.
Okay.
Right? Like, if the world ends, some humans are going to survive.
And Machu Picchu will probably survive. It's high enough up.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it has secrets, and I think those secrets are being kept from us.
Okay.
I think that there's information there that is discernible that they do not want to be discerned.
Okay.
Why? I don't know. Whether that's the Peruvian people being protective of their ancient sites and not wanting to be exploited, or as you said, like, if it really was like there's a portal underneath Machu Picchu which goes to America, would just fly in there and be like, okay, Peru's ours now.
Yeah, they would.
What are you
going to
take
it up?
What are you going to do, Peru? Mm-hmm. Right. So for whether it's that or whether it's just like we can't let this out yet, or we have to, or the people who built it, this advanced civilization, is like, don't fuck with our shit, man.
Yeah, don't touch our stuff, bro.
Yeah. So
stay over there.
That's my final thought.
Okay. All right. My final thought. I need to look this up, but yes, there are some anomalies, like those stones, that giant pit filled with dirt currently, and there's stairs. I got to look up all that. But I would be inclined to believe that there's something there that probably will open our eyes to the past of humanity and possibly the future.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's, yeah. Well, listen, I want to just continually say thank you for supporting Conspiracy Beer Me. I am very thankful for all you guys listening and tuning in and giving us a little bit of your hard-earned money.
Yeah.
When we talk about crazy things, hit us up on our Patreon and we'll get back to you, and look forward to next week.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
Peace.
Peace.